everything. So if you have to at the end of it, and you're like, I don't like that, we'll cut it out.
You know, I really appreciate that you guys would say that. But let's fucking get into it.
Good.
Ooh.
Let's get into it, bro.
Serious mess.
No, no, we could talk the shit.
We've never had two Bobs in the same in this room, huh?
True.
Really?
True.
No. We've never had a guest named Robert?
No.
Robert Kelly, no.
No.
Wow, that's interesting. Bob.
Gilbert, I want to make sure I'm definitely not on the camera, right?
Oh, we got a camera right? We got a camera right on you. I'm kidding, you're fine.
Why?
I forgot my water.
We got waters there.
Where are you going? Oh, yeah.
And there's coffee and there's whatever you want.
Whatever you need, man.
Can I fix your hair?
No. What is it?
You should see it's making it look here, there, because it was making it look like it was bald.
Give me a beanie. My hair's fucked. Give me a beanie.
I'm getting a full promotion. Nice.
I was gonna adjust my
other way.
No, I don't want to show the tiger belly side.
Hey man, thanks for helping our company out.
It's too much talent, tiger belly.
Definitely.
And you're up to something, so I don't know. You know?
What are you talking about?
Okay, great. Okay. All right. Oh shit.
No. There's not a lot of things that, like, I don't know why you're in town. This and that. I'm gonna ask all that stuff.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Also, logic. Don't say anything until I bring you up.
Okay. Can you turn Bobby down a hair in my head?
A little bit. Just on his, please.
Yeah, a little more.
This is why I don't wear them.
He doesn't wear them. Okay, cool. Yeah, sorry, my bad.
All right. Is this too high?
Yeah, I'm PTC. Is it traumatic hearing my voice like that? Or?
No, actually, it's surreal.
Okay. Oh, I just farted. Sorry. I queefed.
That was the highest fart. 5/4
The Mariah notes.
I just queefed. Listen, welcome to Tiger Bell, and we have a guest here, and I'm so excited. But before we do that, I have to say a couple of announcements. Number one, Gilbert's up to something. I've known him for so long. He's hiding a secret. He's darting his eyes all over the place. I keep asking him, what's wrong? He's like, nothing, man. Everything's cool.
What are your guesses?
Number one, he's leaving. I feel like he's going to leave the group, the band. Or number two, he's got another deal somewhere else, right? But let me tell you something, right, buddy, right? I'm on to you. I'm your bud, right? We would travel together. Like Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
Gandalf fell. He fell, dude.
You're right.
He stayed with the group, and he fell to the ground.
Kalila.
In the Mines of Moria. Listen.
You know how to wait. Right? I just did.
Boromir died.
You're right.
Boromir died, dude. So anyway, you stay with the group. Welcome to another episode. I woke up all paranoid. Welcome to another episode of Tiger Bell. I just woke up.
True.
You know, I thought it was at 4, and then I was sleeping at 1, and then I can smell her.
What does she smell like when you sense her?
Pineapple juice and anger.
Oh!
Like a combination between those two things.
I like that. Yeah.
You know, because she's from the islands, but there's some rage.
Yeah.
So I wake up, and I see her silhouette.
Jungle
and I'm like,
rage.
I go, what's going on? She's like, logic, fun. And I go, you're right. The worst way to wake up. So anyway, we have a guest. He's beautiful. His neck looks beautiful today.
Thank you very much.
Wait, his neck specifically?
Yeah. Well, he's got a good face. Yeah. But his neck, dude? Oh, shit.
Amazing.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. How about a round of applause for Logic the Rapper? Give him a round of applause, everybody. He's from Maryland, right?
Yes.
He's done 7 albums.
A lot more than that, but yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. 8 albums? How many albums?
I think I'm on like 13. Or
13 albums.
Yeah.
But how about this? Wasn't 2 nominated for a Grammy?
Yeah. I would.
That's clap.
All right. One of them was.
One of them was.
I got 2 nominations on the same album.
That's what I just fucking said.
Yeah, you just flexed hard for me.
I flexy. And then also, the next thing I want to say is, do you live here or there?
I live here and there, but not Maryland, Oregon. So I'm in Oregon and I'm here as well.
Well, you live in hippie land and in Maryland?
I'm in Oregon and I'm in LA.
Oh, in LA.
Yes, sir.
And then what do you prefer?
I prefer Oregon, but I think work is good here.
It's, whoa, yeah. That's heavy, dude.
Yeah, it's true.
You like rain?
What? Rain's you asked it like that.
No, I just, I don't know, people.
That was a crazy way to ask that.
Why? I go, do you like rain, dude, or what?
You said you like rain?
You like rain?
I like rain. Rain's cool. Not all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like seasonal depression shit, you know what I mean? But yeah, no, it's cool. I went up there because, well, it's a long story. I was here, I was living in Calabasas, and then I went to Utah right after we had our first baby in 2020 because of COVID. And I thought it was going to be nice out there. It's nice.
What do you mean?
You know, anyway, so then I went to Oregon.
Can rip on Calabasas, dude. I do it all.
No, Calabasas is great.
Oh, Utah.
Utah.
Oh, Utah. My bad.
Wait, what is your experience with Utah?
Oh, God. Holy shit. Where is it? I don't even memorize.
United States.
You know, some places where you're at, you're like, I won't even memorize any of this.
It's like an hour and a half flight.
Yeah, I know Salt Lake. Oh yeah. So
I think you had like a near like faint. You had a fainting spell there the last time.
I had a fun fainting spell.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I know why. Because I smoked a lot, cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I quit, and I did a club there, and they said there's high elevations. Right.
Yeah.
Guys, and so when I was on stage, I was smoking so much, it was high elevated. The land. I don't know what anything about, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's almost like 10,000 feet or something, like 7,000 or something.
That's right.
Like that.
It's a sky city.
Yeah, I was in Alpine. It was cool. It was just, it just wasn't for us. Let's put it that way. And I was in this, like, giant mansion. There was, like, four levels.
Whoa.
Yeah, and the reason why I was there is because it's like, oh, rap, hip-hop, you made it, you did it. No, for real. Yeah, and then I was there, and I'm, like, halfway across trying to talk to my wife. I got to text her and shit. I was like, I don't want this. You know, like for real. So I was like, man, I want something more because it's just been ingrained in us, entertainment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so it just wasn't right. And then I found a really beautiful single family home on some acreage in Oregon.
I feel like that's the way to do it. Like my max for like maximum joy is no bigger than 2,000 square feet. But acreage is where I think the joy is, because like I want to be able to still smell or like, you know, get a waft of your morning shit once in a while. Like, I don't want to, do you know what I mean? Like, I want to know that I'm living with you. I want to smell your smells. I don't want to be on like the opposite wing of something.
No, for sure. It wasn't like that. It was just like, do I really need a basketball court on a level of, you know what I mean? It's like Batman. No.
Can I make an argument though against acres?
Okay.
This is outside acres. Can you not?
Inside acres. I don't give a fuck about inside acres. Never have.
Okay.
Never have, never will.
Okay.
I just woke up. Right. Here's my argument against outside acres, all right? Logic, just hear me out, okay?
Okay, I'm listening. I'm also going to put my thing on Do Not Disturb so I'm not rude. I'm sorry. And now I'm being rude by putting it.
It's okay.
I just want to make sure, babe. Okay, there we go. We're good.
So when you have that money outside acres, right? You know how you sometimes you like look at a golf course?
Yeah.
Right? And you got to look at all that wasted land. For a game. We could do so much other things for that land. Like give homeless people like an amusement park or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Priority one, yeah.
Or something. I mean, a fun zone for homeless. Right?
A homeless fun zone?
Yeah.
That sounds like a house. To me. If I was homeless and I wanted a fun zone, it would be a home.
That's what I meant.
Food, water.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this, me and my assistant on the car ride, because it's like, it is such a sad thing to see, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Homelessness I've definitely enjoyed, you know, donating and helping, but as I get older, because I'm still building my empire, you know what I mean? But like as I get older, that's something I really want to get into, is like philanthropy and help others. Because I came from Section 8 and food stamps and all that stuff.
So. Right. Well, I was gonna get into that because I've read some stuff about your past and I want to get into it. But should I go back to the outside acres?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your argument against outside acres?
Before I lose it?
Yeah.
Lose my mind? I'm just saying, you guys want outside acres. What are you going to do with that land? You're just there for you to look at.
What's the word when you're just like running in a prairie with like pure joy?
Frolic?
Frolicking.
Yeah.
A frolicking zone.
Frolic. My son frolics. I couldn't frolic. I was in a crackhead infested situation.
No, but you have the legs for frolic. And that's what when I saw you earlier today, I go, dude, look at those frolicly legs.
I frolic a bit.
Yeah. We can frolic. We just don't because we had tough lives.
No, I still.
But you grew up in a country club.
Wait, what?
With a golf course with outside acres.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know, but my home life was terrible.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
So now you associate acres
with fucking
acres. Sadness, that's what it is. You just associate having acres with sadness.
Yeah.
Got it.
I do, and, you know.
What's your argument?
Yeah, what's the,
I'm just saying that it's just like, why? What are you going to do with that land?
Farm?
Enjoy it. Yeah.
You're not going to farm.
What are you talking about? We got chickens.
You're not farming.
We got chickens.
You do? I'm sorry. My bad. I didn't know that you had chickens. You have a cow?
No.
Okay. No. What else do you have?
Acres.
Okay. All right. And I'm sure there's.
We got trees and shit.
Oh, shit. I love trees.
It's a vibe. I think also just growing up in such dysfunction, it's nice to have some peace and quiet. So that's why it's weird, the juxtaposition of going from there to then coming to LA, where it's like out there, people are like, how are you? LA, it's like, fuck do you do, bro? I hate that shit.
I know, me too.
Everywhere you go, it's what do you do? And I mean, that's like the first question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, I don't know.
None of your business.
Yeah, fucking exist, bro.
But
yeah.
But you can interpret that as being direct. Right?
No.
Not in LA.
Listen to my argument. Okay.
Okay. All right.
When you're in Portland, they're like, how are you? But in their minds, they're like, oh shit. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't trust it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't trust it. You know what I mean? It's like,
wild,
you know
what
I mean? Look at this man. You know what I mean? In my town, right? So it's like in LA, it's like up front. It's like, what do you do? I like it's direct. I like it.
I think that shit's lame as fuck.
What?
It'd be different if you're at like an event. You know, that's a little different, right? You're at an event or something. But like if you run into somebody at lunch and just so happen to kind of start a conversation, say something like, oh, I really like your shoes. And they're like, what do you do? Like, that's LA.
Yeah.
One last argument. I'm okay. So sorry. I'm sorry.
Let's fucking go.
So I was at Maria Menounos. Well, I've told this part story before. Maria Menounos.
Menounos?
That's like a money.
Well, what's her name? Menounos. Maria Menounos, right?
You got it.
Menudo. So I was at a party, right? Just hear me out, Robert.
I'm listening. Robert, wow, you took me back to high school.
Logic. And I'm
Bobby, Bobby, you're both Bobby.
Whatever.
All right, Bobby. I'm sitting next to a guy with glasses, right?
Okay.
What I should have asked was, what do you do? But I didn't. For 30 minutes, I started talking about stand-up and I'm selling out clubs now. 300 seats and I'm special and this and that, right? And then when I walked away from that conversation, he didn't say anything. He just because listened, right? It was Josh Groban.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Wow.
So I should have asked, what do you do before? So I didn't have to go through a 30-minute tirade.
Yeah, but why did you go through a 30-minute
because
tirade?
Because I'm a piece of shit.
No, you're
I'm a full fucking...
No, you're just proud. Come on, man. Look at all you've accomplished. That's a big deal.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I mean, were you being an asshole or were you...
Yeah, but thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Right.
I love you.
I love you too.
But anyway, you know, when people go, oh, LA, you know, we don't like LA because they're fake. But in many ways, they're very honest. Can I make that argument or not?
I will say about this, I've lived... Well, this is the first place I landed from Asia when I came here when I was a teenager.
Where are you from?
The Philippines.
Dope. Oh, shout out Efren Reyes, the greatest pool player of all.
Yes. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Sure, man.
I feel like the only Filipino who isn't good at pool.
No, you saying that means you'd like smack the top tier American player. For sure.
You know, I do have girlfriends who just hustle. Like they are so good. They'll walk into any pool hall and be like, hey, can I, you know, and then just take everyone's money.
I love it. But I did interrupt you. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
So...
You're not interrupting. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
But I'm ADHD.
We love you.
Thank you. I love you guys.
When I first came to LA, like, I loved it because I think when people's understanding of LA is, like, just the industry, but that's not my experience with it at all. Like, I've only been in it in, like, since I've been with him. Everybody here is dope. It's, like, a blue-collar town. It's, like, a working-class town. I lived in Long Beach for a couple of years, a lot of mom-and-pop shops. Like, when LA's dope in that way, it's just the kind of, I know what you mean about, like, just the industry type of people.
Yeah, that's where I would find, well, I can't say I'd even find myself there because I'm pretty to myself. I like to be to myself. I like my circle. It's not like I don't welcome anybody with open arms by any means. It's just I've just met a lot of like when I first started in music, when I signed my record deal in 2012 and I came out here, I was 23 years old in 2013. I met a lot of people who would just treat me like shit because they'd be like, so what do you do? And I'd be like, I'm an up-and-coming musician, and it was almost like, next. You ever seen that show on MTV? Next. Like, it was like, that's what it was like. Like, I didn't even have a chance to say, like, who I am and my aspirations and what I want to do. And it's funny, because then a year, two, 3 years later, you run into those same people, and they forgot you, because they were so aimlessly just looking to get what they can get from who they could get. And I didn't fucking forget. So then when they're like, they know who I am then, they're like, oh, Logic, nice to meet you. And I'm like, oh, we met.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't treat them with shade or anything. But
don't
I'm
you
like,
think that's
met.
Human nature?
To what?
To be an asshole?
No. This guy, I love this guy. One of my favorite. No. I'm just argumentative today. I'm so sorry.
No, I love it.
May I try?
Makes for a good talk.
Yeah. Just hear me out, okay? Okay. So, you know, I'm who I am, right, Bobby? Like, I've been around for a long time, this and that, right? And when you're, you know what I mean? When you're, if I'm around a bunch of comics, especially at the store, there's thousands of comedians, right? Mm. You can't be nice to everybody. You can be cordial, right? But I've heard people go, well, Bobby Lee was a dick because I go, I don't really remember that. Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, no, because what? Finish it, please. Why don't you give me a fucking example?
Wait, what did you say?
No, people will go, what's up, dude? I'm Jermaine. I'm from Atlanta. I'm a comic. I'll be like, oh, cool. And just, you know what I mean? Or whatever. But I'm not like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, how long you been doing it? Mm. How's your journey? Well, I got too much shit to do.
I think it's time and place, though. That's a real thing. Oh. Like, it's time and place. Like, I've met people like that, too, when I'm fucking eating with my son. And somebody's he's like, yo, can I spit these bars? And I'm like, fuck no. Like, what? I'm trying to feed my son. I'll shake your hand. I'll say what's up. And on my way out, I'd love to maybe have a little quick conversation.
But that guy, how you do that it. Guy to his friends, oh, Logic's a dick.
Yeah, fuck him.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's all perception.
It really is. I think the best that we can do as people in the spotlight, if you will, is just do the best that we can to be kind and nice and also set fucking boundaries. So I set boundaries. But I didn't have those when I was young. Like, I would do, somebody would interrupt me eating and I would stop and I'd take that picture and I'd do all this other stuff because I felt that I had to. And there's a difference between having an appreciation for your fucking fans and then also just setting a personal goal of, like, I'm not... When somebody comes up to you and the first thing they say is, can I take a picture? I usually say, what's your name? Shake their hand and then do it.
Dude, this guy...
He's 51 and
he's a future person.
You're 51?
Yeah.
No, you're not. Bro, you're 51?
The fuck is going on here? Yeah, I'm a dying.
Oh my God. No, you just look incredible. You look amazing.
What the fuck is going on with this guy?
You're not dying.
Was that a doctor?
That was the first time I've seen that.
I've never had that reaction before. The insides. You haven't seen my inside. The insides are very 51. On the outside, it looks pretty good.
Well, tar.
Yeah, a little tar. Yeah, I'm 51,
But you have a hard time saying no to people. Like, he will be like have beet juice all over his teeth. And, you know, it's just the most inappropriate time. But if someone's like, hey, Bobby, can I take a picture? He will smile with all the beet in his
mouth. Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
I'd say 90% of the time, I'd always do it. But if I'm having a conversation with my wife about the birth of our next child or some you know what I mean? It's like you have to draw a line
100%
for yourself. That's it. But I'm all about it. I'd be taking pictures. I'd be fucking doing videos for people and signing shit, whatever.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is when somebody comes up and they don't ask for a picture and they just go, may I have your autograph?
Oh,
yeah, fucking feel like Sinatra.
Old school. Yeah.
I'm like, should I make it out to eBay or?
Or are there people that have come up to me and said, you know, I don't want anything from you. I just wanted to meet you and shake your hand.
That's the best.
I love that.
That's
cool.
The best.
It's really cool.
Because I feel like a majority of people who come up to famous or known people, it's really just about them. And there's also nothing wrong with that either. But it's like we live in an age where because of social media, we went from staring at our phones to being like, oh, wait a second. And then everybody's turned the phones on themselves. Mm. Because I think social media in a way is really, it's almost like a 24/7 live reality television show for everybody who owns a device.
Right.
So when they see, you know, awesome people in the street and they go, oh my God, I know you from this or that, they want to take that picture so they get their dopamine hits and their likes and their shares. And that's just the society that we're in.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I live the most mundane life.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
No, if you look on paper, I wake up at 2 in the afternoon. What if you weren't here today, I would go down and get a cup of coffee.
Love it.
Come back, play Elden Ring, right?
Fuck yeah.
And at night...
Obviously.
Yeah, game, yeah. Wow. I play, and then tonight I'll probably go to an AA meeting, get something to eat, come home, and go to sleep. I mean, that's my life.
Wow.
Right? It's not this, like, you know what I mean? I'm Bobby Lee, I'm doing these things. You know, I'm pretty much like a regular kind of a guy.
That's how I feel.
But people perceive you to have this, like, wild life because of just...
Well, you're also an entertainer, so you're on right now. Like, even though you know, you're a funny guy, this is you guys, this is what you do, but you're on. When there's a fucking camera, you're on. I don't even need a camera, and I'm on. I'm just trying to make my friends laugh all the time or talk about X, Y, and Z. So I think people definitely see us. Like, sometimes I'll do interviews, You know, like I'll sit down with like Santino or Jamie Kennedy the other day or different people. And it's like, there's a bit, like I'm doing a bit, like I'm being funny.
Right.
And then they could cut that one thing and I'm proud of it. I love it, whether it's them or Theo Von. But then people could see you for that one clip and think, well, I can make a joke about being rich and then everybody thinks I'm an asshole.
Right. Like that's yeah.
That's
yeah,
what it is. Yeah. So because you're posting yourself here being like, I'm fucking 51. You know, like people could perceive you that way.
I want to tell you an observation I have about you.
Yeah, I am half black.
That's not what I was saying.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But you are?
It's a joke, but yeah. It's not a joke, actually, yeah. But
is that real?
It's a real thing.
Oh, that's so funny. I couldn't see that.
I know. My dad's black.
That's unbelievable. Was he albino?
You would think. No, he's not.
Okay.
I actually just reconnected with him a couple weeks ago.
Oh, did you?
I did, yeah.
Can I say the opposite before I forget, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, you are the guy, I swear to God, if there was like some sort of like end of the world situation, like a zombie apocalypse or, you know what I mean? End of the world, and I needed to have like, I could choose 10 people to be in my, you know what I mean? Fortress or what do you call it?
Squad
or rudder. You're the guy that I would pick. You seem like somebody that like...
What?
No, I'll tell you why. Because I feel like if I didn't know who you were, I'd be like, this guy can make shit.
Okay.
Like, he'll be able to take two twigs.
Like MacGyver?
Like MacGyver-ish, you know what I mean? Right? This guy is also like, you know, I feel like he has some sort of like knowledge about like philosophy, life lessons.
All right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know.
I don't know how fucking well that's going to do with anything when zombies are eating everybody's shit.
I mean, he was a character in The Last of Us Part 2.
I was. What a good pull. Yeah, The Last of Us Part 2.
Zombie Apocalypse.
Is a video game? Yeah.
I know what it is.
I was actually so obsessed with The Last of Us. I've beaten it almost 20 times now, especially because it just came out on PC.
So good.
I love it. I'm obsessed with it. And I don't know, manifestation and the law of attraction is a real thing. I went from being a fan to befriending the entire cast, the writers, the directors, not from a, what do you do? I just met them. We became friends. And then, lo and behold, I found myself getting brutally murdered by the main character in the second.
Wow.
And you get the best gun in the game off my corpse. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, Ashley Johnson.
And does it look like you, the character?
No.
Oh.
I'm a really cool Asian guy.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
They didn't even call you for that.
They should have called you.
Look.
That's me. Well, he looks mixed.
He's not Asian.
Yeah. No, he's got some Asian in there.
He looks like Filipino.
He's Filipino, yeah. I wouldn't have gotten that anyway.
Half Salvadorian, half Filipino.
Yeah.
Salvadorian, shout out Maryland.
Yeah,
shout out.
Shout out Maryland. There's a lot of South.
So that's there. Yeah. And you're dead. You die.
I die.
Yeah. And then, did you like that game?
I loved it.
You love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess
he likes open world. That's why.
Oh,
I'm more open world.
Open world's great.
Yeah.
There's so much that you can do. Did you play Metal Gear Solid 5?
I think I did.
That was a fire one. Well, I mean, that was like fucking 8 years ago. Well, longer than that.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
I played a lot of it, but I'm into Elden Ring right now.
Elden Ring. Elden Ring's so hard.
That's why.
No, but it's so
told you?
Hard, bro.
It's so hard.
It's ridiculous. Like The Witcher, I loved that because it was like
so easy. Not easy, but like
yeah, it's challenging.
You can also change the easy the mode.
Yeah,
right?
You cannot do that.
Elden Ring has no mode.
But that's also what makes it so epic.
Yeah,
because it's like life or death. But I'm like, I don't got time for that shit.
Yeah, I know. Every 5 minutes, you died.
Yeah, my buddy Freddie Dredd, he's a rapper, obsessed.
Of Elden Ring?
Literally obsessed with the game. Like,
yeah.
It's all he does.
Because when you do kill somebody, you feel like you did something.
I feel like everything, even the little skeletons in the dungeons, are all like boss level master.
They are! Even the fucking wolves!
Yeah.
Why is a wolf a turtle?
How far are you?
You can't even open up the turtle!
How far are you?
I've killed maybe 10 bosses.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
But I've been playing a month straight.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just, this week, I'm like, oh, my sword's like, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you have smithing stones, and you level up. I'm like, strong enough to kill, like, the cat monster or whatever with the...
Yeah. Wow, look at that thing.
Yeah.
He looks like the Pope.
I'm going to ask you, why does he have a...
Yeah,
why?
I haven't run into him yet.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a turtle.
Yeah. That's a turtle. Yeah. But anyway, it's a great game. I want to talk about your upbringing because I had a traumatic.
I want to talk about your dad reconnecting.
Yeah,
that's
really. Well,
let's start from the beginning, though.
I can send you guys a couple pictures actually, so you can post them if you want. But
so, you know, I grew up. My dad was violent. I grew up in a really violent home, and I just remember like. Even in my head as a 6-year-old going, I don't belong here.
Wow, I feel that.
Yeah. There's something wrong here. Mm. You know what I mean? I can't leave because I'm 7 and I have no money.
Mm.
And you know what I mean? But I just know that, you know, one day I'll be out of the situation and I'll never go back. So,
wow.
So when I read about your background and stuff like that, start from the beginning, like Maryland, you grew up?
Yeah, I grew up in Maryland through the 90s. So I was born in 1990. And
wow, that's when I graduated from high school.
Damn. 51.
51.
Wow. 51. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, black dad, white mom. I'm one of nine, but I'm the only child between my mother and my father. And they were never married, and I was born out of wedlock. And my mother, they were both, you know, addicted to crack cocaine and various drugs. Alcohol was a big one. My mother was a prostitute at one point. A lot of sexual abuse, and my sister's getting raped and coming home and, like, having to deal with all that as a child, which was really difficult. And then, yeah. And then my mother, she was never really there for me because she would drink. You know, she was drinking all night. She'd sleep all day. And then... yeah, man, my only real escape, there was a few of them, actually, but the biggest one was music. But that's why this is so special to me, because you're such a, like, a hero of mine. You know, I actually was talking to Jamie Kennedy about this, because when I was surrounded by, you know, drugs and murders in the household and just the craziest shit, you made me laugh. Oh, you know, it's a real thing, though. So, because, and I said this to him as well, to Jamie, because... there weren't many people that gave me a smile when all I wanted to do was cry. So thanks a lot, man.
Oh my God.
I really mean it.
What
dude.
The fuck?
No, that's real though. I don't think you understand. I mean, as this kid who's watching Mad TV and shit, you know, it's like nothing. I didn't have anything, like literally nothing, you know, food stamps and welfare and just being in a household that was just riddled with such negativity and crime. And it's wild, man. So thanks a lot. Thanks for making me laugh. That's some real shit. Like, you really, I don't think you'll ever actually understand how much you as a person were like medicine to me. So thanks. Wow. Thank you.
I don't know what to say.
Psych. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No,
I really don't know what to say. It's true. You know, wow. Wow. Anyway, well, because, you know, you do things, I mean, you don't know what you're doing, you're affecting or whatever. You're just showing up at a job you got. You're like, oh, I'm trying my best. And this, you know what I mean? But it's
sometimes,
like.
Sometimes, like, I hear, like, the narrative of, like, the way he sees his life. And he's always like, you know, like, I put stuff up my butt for a laugh. Like, and he has, like, shame around, like, the crazy stunts that he would pull. I'm just like, wait, but, like, you're someone's medicine. Mm. When they were a child, like,
yeah, you don't think of it that way, but
you don't think of it that way at all.
And, you know, and when you were, you know, I'll be honest with you. When you were talking just now, you know, I do a thing where it's like I want to find the joke or not, you know what I mean? And because it's uncomfortable to listen to, but yeah, you know, I heard every word you said, and I felt it, dude. So yeah, I am. I'm not going to turn it into a thing. Thank you.
I did it for you. I said
you said so. Thank you for the punchline.
Yeah.
So, but let me ask you though. It's like, fuck yeah, I was going to say that. My point is that how does one, because when people have that kind of upbringing, right, generally, right, their life turns a specific direction, maybe a life of crime or drugs,
yeah,
alcohol.
My brothers sold drugs. They sold crack to our dad. So my dad would smoke crack and then they would sell it to him. And so you're right. Yeah, they tend to, sorry to interrupt you. But
no, you're not.
But it's funny because what you were about to say is what so many people have said to me. How do you not follow that same path? How do you not go down the path of shooting guns and selling drugs? And, you know, even as a teenager, I cooked crack cocaine. So it's like going through that, and making it out, I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. You know, I could say, oh, it's part common sense and part God or the universe or whatever. I don't know. And I think respectfully, I don't say this in a weird way. You know, a lot of people, they follow religion. They have a religion and they like to know what it is. They believe their faith. They know if they do X, Y, Z. Me personally, my relationship, like I don't believe that God is a white guy on a cloud or anything like that. And I don't discredit religion by any means. But there's a lot of people who feel like almost the need to know. You know, it's like if, you know, people with a tinfoil hat are like, the government's up to something. I gotta know. I'm the type of person that like, man, the government's up to some shit. Yeah, sure. They might be watching us on our iPhones. Okay, cool. Check out my dick. Like, whatever. Like, I don't need to know.
Yeah.
So there's a part of me where others were always like, how did you make it out? How did you make it out? I'm like, I don't know. And I don't need to know. All I know is that I'm in a position and so blessed to be here, that I'm going to use this to spread a message of peace, love, and positivity. And that's it.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that it has nothing to do with nature, nurture, and all that kind of stuff, or like even genetic. Maybe not genetics, but it's genetic. You're right, genetics. So why'd you say?
You know.
Yeah, because look at an example, Barack Obama, right? Mm-hmm. Raised by his mother, dad wasn't around.
Biracial.
You know what I mean? Biracial, right? And he just, there's no other path. He was just doing that path. Right, I just think it's just fate, or I don't know. But you're just making the choices that take you this direction. There's nothing else that I can do. This is the direction I'm going.
Have you seen the second Matrix? There's like
this, I like that one.
Yeah, Reloaded. There's
the key master in there.
The key maker.
Yeah,
key maker. The little Asian man.
Exactly.
I love him.
He's a beast. And in that movie, you'll see there's like an infinite amount of doors. And I kind of feel that that's kind of what life is like. You know, if they say, "Oh, your fate's already sealed," I don't necessarily believe that. I think we have no choice but to walk through the first door of life, right? We slip out the canal, here we are, and then there's a million other doors, and it's up to, we are like, we could literally just stand there in the hallway and do nothing forever, or we could choose our own adventure and pick any door from an infinite amount of doors, and that takes you on to another row of doors and another row. So yeah, that's how I always perceived it.
Yeah, but that makes me feel like, okay, so I like the, I like the way you put it, where it's like I have a loose idea of how the government is, your idea of God. For me, like, to know that if something happened when I was 8 years old that led me into a completely different path, that I would be fully present and content in that life as well. Like, I'm like, I would have never met you. I would have never met Bobby. I would have never been in this room, but it would have been a life like equally worth living.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And I like that idea.
No.
I was meant to be here,
yeah.
Here.
Yeah. This is the best one.
In the multiverse.
This is the best multiverse.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because if you never met me, I don't want to fight. I'll try. If you didn't know me, you would have been a nurse, and then you would have been a nurse during
COVID.
That's
not true. I was a freaking Nepo baby.
You were a Nepo baby.
No. Like, my dad, you know, like, I could have been in, you know, boarding school in Switzerland. Like, it could have been a completely different route.
Okay. You would have had a great life. But I have to go back to his key thing. Because I had an argument with his key thing.
So
I don't know what's wrong with it. When you wake up like this.
Argument.
Let me just express a different point of view.
You
right?
Got it.
I agree with you.
I love how you're like, you think I'm going to leave. He's like, no, listen.
Please don't leave.
I'm chilling.
Yeah. You should walk up.
I know.
What I'm saying, I agree with you. That there is a bunch of doors, right? And you're mean. But imagine God watching you pick all these things, and a buddy of his going, wow, he picked that door. And God saying, he was always going to pick that door. That's what I believe.
I mean, I get you, but also like...
No, nothing? Nothing, that was dumb. that was dumb. Edit that out.
That's just... No. That's the downward spiral of what ifs. I never lived there.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I kept going, what if, if only... Like, that's how you live with regret. I mean, the only time I think there's been a few moments where I looked back, it was actually in the future. Now, I know that sounds really weird, but what I mean is so my father, whom I love, I really do, he was never there for me. He stole my fucking identity before I was 18. We have the same name. He maxed out credit cards. Ooh. He fucking told me, son, I'll be there. And he never showed up. He always told me. He was like, this Saturday, I promise I'm going to be out there. And this, it makes me emotional, but it's like, and this little fucking boy, me, little Bobby, had his bags packed and waited on the curb all day long. And it didn't just happen once. It didn't just happen twice. It happened dozens of times throughout my whole life. And he promised me, he swore he would be there. I walked in on my dad smoking crack, all this other shit. Now he's a different man and he's sober. But the thing is if I just focused on that all the time, I wouldn't be able to move forward. And because of this, you know, my father hadn't met his grandson, my little Bobby. So Bobby, my father's name is Robert Bryson Hall. My name is Sir Robert Bryson Hall II. My son is Sir Robert Bryson Hall III. My grandfather, his name is Robert Lloydell Hall. And I was looking at my little baby boy, whom I love very much, and I thought about all the times that my father promised he would be there, just like as I let him back in my life. He promised that he wouldn't ask me for money. He promised that he wouldn't talk to me about music because he's a musician, you know, African percussion, congos, singing, you know, played with EU and Rare Essence, just on the go-go scene, Chocolate City, DC, crazy shit. And he did a lot of really bad, fucked up shit. And as I've had my son and I've thought about letting my father in my life for the umpteenth time after setting boundaries that he just continued to step past, I then looked at the situation at 50. If I was 50 years old, don't make a joke. He's trying to make a 51 joke right now. I know you. If at 50 years old, would I be full of regret because my father is dead? I never got the chance again to let him back in my life, and he never met his grandson. The young me, right, of a year ago was like, fuck him for all that he did to me and how he treated me. But the older me, that's wiser than me then, I guess, if you could say, it was like, dude, you got to figure this shit out. So I tried again, and then he asked me for $1 million. Wow. And then, yeah, he's like, I need a studio, a house studio for me and my band.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, anyway.
The nerve.
I know. But I instead of getting angry about it like I have in the past and being like, you stepped over this line again, that's it. You know what I did for the first time ever? He was at my house a couple weeks ago when we reunited. And I said, Dad, please don't talk to me about music. And Dad, please don't talk to me about money. And day one, he goes, I need you to pay all my bills and I need a truck.
Shit.
And I thought about it. And I said, Dad, why are you asking me that? I clearly said, please don't ask me this. And you know what he said? He gave me the greatest answer. He said, I don't know.
Oh.
I said, I don't know. I don't know. And I said, you know what, Dad? I've been trying to run from this. And I think it's time to help you help yourself. And I had this idea. And it's actually something that I'm working on right now. It's in the infancy. Well, I'd say more than that, but I said, you know what, Dad? We've never made music together. And you know, I have a little brother that my father had a vasectomy after he had me. He had a vasectomy. First, he had a paternity test. Then he had a vasectomy. And 30 years later, just under, I guess there was still one in the chamber, he got this young woman pregnant.
I think there's like 50 in the chamber after a vasectomy.
Really?
Yeah, you're supposed to jerk off like 50 times to empty it out completely before.
He's definitely had sex more than that.
Your
in
penis
30
is a
years.
Semi-automatic weapon.
Well, after a vasectomy,
I want six, not 50.
To get into the safe zone, you're supposed to just empty the chamber completely, and they say roughly between 30 or 40, 30
to
50
know?
Jerk offs.
A microscope? You look at it? Oh,
I'm not the doctor, Bobby.
Right, let's move on. I can't even think about it.
Okay. So go ahead. Your brother. Yeah.
So my little brother, my dad got this woman pregnant. She died of a heroin overdose. And then my little brother was here. And I remember talking to my dad because I was like, you should let me adopt him. And I spoke to my wife while she was pregnant with our first son. And she was like, fuck yeah. She was like, if we can help change this boy's life, let's do it. And I went to my dad and I told him that. And he was like, nah, just give me the money.
And that really
fucked me up. And this was a couple years ago. And that's one of the reasons that I didn't speak with him. But anyway, so then we reunited and I got this idea. All he talks to me about is money. All he talks to me about is music. So I was like, you know what, Dad? Let's do an album together. Let's do an album together and we will write music and you will sing and you will finally have your stage in front of millions of people and you will earn every dollar and I will educate you on the business, on publishing, on black ownership. And not only that, I brought my brothers in. So the same brothers who were in the streets running around doing crazy shit, who have grown as men, who all have grown children now and all this stuff. And I was like, I'm going to educate you guys and I'm going to help you. Because I told my dad, I said, Dad, do you know how many fucking people we have in our family? It's so many. If I buy you a house, I got to buy everybody else a house. That's minimum nine, right? Yeah. If I'm one of nine. So then let's think about the fact that I got to pay everybody's bills, gas, electricity. Oh, can't forget everybody needs cars.
Yeah.
Can't forget everybody needs gas for cars. And when I started to say this to him, he kind of understood. He was like, damn. Like, he was just starting to think about it. And I said, you know what? You're going to earn that shit. And we're going to set up a trust for my little brother where he is going to have residual income that nobody, not even me, can touch until he turns 18, and the rest of it will go into your pocket, and I'll buy you a fucking truck. How about that?
Whoa.
Yeah, and he goes, my I love you.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I think I did it the wrong way.
How did you do it with your papa?
My parents?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you $3,500 every month for the rest of your lives, not a dime more or less. And I've just been sending them checks for 15 years, 20 years.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And they never said anything.
Well, wait, you think you did it the wrong way?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what, no, I didn't really, I just kind of, my instinct was like, you know, I know they're my parents, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're retired, they don't have a lot of money, and I want to help them because they're my parents, you know what I mean? And I don't know why I just came up with that 3,500 arbitrary kind of number.
It's a solid, more. That's more than some people get for child support, I'll tell you that.
So, yeah, yes. I get a month, and they don't spend it. It's been in their... They save it, you know what I mean? And so, and I've been doing that for almost 20 years.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah, I mean, also, I don't have to deal with the headache of, like, you know what I mean? Like those calls, like, Bobby, my dick. Oh, not my dick. Wait, my dick.
My dick need more money.
My dick need money. I talked to my dick, and he said, we're hungry. You know, no. I don't know why I said that. Sorry. Yeah. No, my foot hurts.
Yeah.
I go, well, what? I got to go to the doctor. You know what I mean? I don't want to deal with that, those calls. That's all.
I'm not to, like, fully defend your mom, but I'm going to fully defend your mom.
Okay. Oh.
But she told me that up until, like, you were 30 before Mad TV, like, you would hit her up for bills all the time. Like, she would bail you out. And she was like, you know what pissed me off is that he would never call me, like, a week before rent was due or 2 weeks before rent was due. It was, like, the day rent was due. Ma! And she would get the frantic phone calls, wire me money right now. So she did bail you out a lot.
Hundreds of times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I give her the money.
Do you also just think that you were at a respectfully so selfish place in your life and in your career where you were just so focused on attaining a goal that's kind of why you weren't checking in? You were just so focused or
No. I don't know why. Mm. But this is what I did know. I knew it was right around the corner. I could feel it. Mm. Right? For the last 3 or 4 years when I wasn't making money, I was just like, oh, I know there's too many, I'm growing, I can feel it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know
at
that.
This thing. Age, you know, you feel it, right? It's like, around, but you don't know when it's going to happen, right? And then it's like, so I just kept asking, like, a day of, like, I need to pay rent. I asked my manager, Abby, I used to ask her, hey, can you pay my phone bill, whatever it might be? And they all did it, right? And then when I started making money, I was like, I have to repay them. So I did, you know what I mean? It's like, I knew it. But there's nothing worse than asking somebody for help.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
I think if you've made the wrong decisions, it's very difficult to ask for help. But I think if you have someone to ask, you're a blessed person. You know, if you have someone that loves you enough, you know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, like, we have to learn that ourselves. Like, bro, I was homeless. And my best friend, Lenny, who I'm naming my second son after, little Leo. Yeah, he took me off the street when I had nowhere to live. And I was 22, it's 2012. I was like making music and it's 2010. Things were starting to kind of pick up. I could feel it. It was right around the corner. Mm. But like right around the corner was like, oh, they're spinning my song once a day on college radio. Like I kind of felt something. Sorry, you feel so far away. I feel like I have to like,
no, you're
Batman. You know when Batman's like,
yeah, that's what
it is. Because he can't turn. Anyway, so I felt it. I felt like everything was there. And then, lo and behold, my friend, he let me sleep on his couch and I was supposed to get a job, but every week something was kind of happening with music. And this was like at the beginning of Twitter and Instagram. So I'm like that first generation that took it and made something of my music career, you know? And almost a year to the day, I signed to Def Jam. I bought his mom a truck. I bought shit for all my homies. And I said, we're all moving to LA. And that was it.
Wow.
So I think... asking for help, it's okay. As long as you're just not fucking somebody over all the time.
No, I was, if they could see, the reason why they would give you money is because they see every day, oh, he's going up on stage.
Hell
he's,
yeah.
He's, you know what I mean, trying to, you know, network and all that. Because, you know, I was always kind of like trying, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, if I was a guy smoking weed all day, you know what I mean, that didn't have a job, I was like, I'm a comedian, but never went up. I mean, that'd be one thing. But no, I was gung-ho.
Yeah, you're hustling.
I was hustling.
For sure.
Because when you think that, I honestly believe that it was my only way out.
Mm.
That's the thing. It's like, there is no other option. It's like, if this doesn't work out for me, I'm fucked.
That's how I feel. I feel that way right now.
Yeah, I'm fucked.
Like, I have to go. Like, if you don't keep going, it just is what it is. And like, you know, respectfully, I myself, like, I'm in a great financial place. I've built a lot for myself. It's incredible, but I feel uneasy. I felt uneasy today, these last few days. And I think,
you're cute.
Yeah, don't be down on yourself, man. You're cute.
No, it's not that. It's really just like when you could do anything. Like, bro, I have a New York Times bestselling novel. You know what I mean? I have dozens of albums. I've been in film and television and stuff like that. And I'm still young, and I know that. But there's still this sense of uneasiness. And you know what? It's actually a really beautiful feeling because I don't feel complacent. I don't feel like I got it all. And I feel like logic has to fight for everything, every view, every stream, everything. And that's okay. Because if I woke up every day and just didn't give a fuck, it wouldn't be worth it to me.
Do you want to hear the bad news?
Yeah, please.
That will never go away.
Damn. But I kind of like it.
I know.
It's weird. It's so weird because I feel like I'm in the basement again, you know, because now what I really want to do more than anything is, you know, I'm going to start my own podcast, which I think
that's fucking, you're going to kill it. You're so good.
We'll see. I don't know.
No, it's going to be great.
Hopefully. And then also I really want to produce other artists and I want to change the trajectory of my career. I love rapping. I love singing. I love making music, but I really love the idea of producing, kind of stepping back. I mean, still, I'm always rapping shit, but I'm on the cusp of something personally incredible and I don't know what's going to happen and that makes me scared. And the fact that I'm scared makes me happy because it matters to me. And who knows what a viewer or a listener may think of, you know, Logic's got, you know, went to the Grammys, did all this stuff. I wake up every day and fight for the future of my children, of my fans, and of spreading a good message. So it's exciting.
Wow. I have a feeling that all kinds of shit. You know, honestly, like, you know, I'm privy to you on the internet and this and that, right? But in terms of, like, I've never met you before. Have we met before?
No.
So it's like, you really, when I, like, I'll be honest, when I first saw you, I thought, and it's not gay.
Well, now it is.
Is it gay?
Are we sure? What are you going to say? Gay.
Are you sure?
No, it's no dick. There's no dicks involved.
Okay.
All right. I went, he's cute.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But not in a, you know, like in a prison, maybe.
All right. Oh, yeah. That's sweet. I don't know what that has to do with success, but I appreciate
I think he just wanted to share that with
you. I need to share my feelings. Well, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I appreciate
So that's my first thing. And I'm like, oh, he's nothing like, even when you start talking, nothing like I thought he would be. You know what I mean?
You know, I get that a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's the gift and the curse of the internet.
No. You're so like, you're thoughtful, you're mindful about what you say, you're a bright guy.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you seem like a really nice guy. I just, you know, I'm enamored by it. You know what I mean? You know, it's not gay.
I mean, I'm down.
Yeah. I don't want to fuck you, man.
Let's make out. Right?
No. It's like weird. I'm sorry. I wanted to say it again. Okay. Everyone, back up. Everything's fine. But no, but there's something about you that was like, you know, whatever you're saying, whatever you want to do, I believe that you can do it. You know what I mean?
I think it wasn't until recently, and I'm still figuring it out exactly what I want to do. But like I said, from the podcast to production and just kind of going into a new step in my career, I think that that's what it is. Manifestation is a real thing, dude. Like, I think about how many
is it
things
because I believe that
is
too.
Is it?
No. Listen, I believed it too. I really did. I believed it too.
Oh, you believed it.
I believed it.
Okay.
But then it's like, so things will happen in your life that you didn't manifest. Wait. Right? Right? So the last, you know, that's couple life, of months, right? Things are happening that I didn't manifest. I remember I didn't visual it. You know what I mean? It wasn't a part of my thing.
In
right?
a positive way?
In a negative way.
I wrote something about manifesting, but keep going.
Okay. So whenever like something really bad happens that I didn't manifest, I'm like, oh, manifestation doesn't work. But usually I think, I believe everything that I have is through manifestation. What? Say it.
Okay, I have just, I'm just going to push back on manifestation.
And we're going to have to fight against her.
You just fight me on okay. this. But basically, like, I read this, because I kind of feel similarly where, this happened to me. I swear in my heart, like, it's because I thought it, I believed it, and now it's happening, right? But this is what I read about manifesting. It says, basically, it's all about privilege, luck, and timing. Like, it's by all means, think positively, believe in yourself, follow your dreams, work hard. because a positive attitude and optimistic outlook will never be a bad choice and will only ever serve you well in your life and your relationships. But
let her finish, man.
But it kind of really is like a false reality to soothe us during difficult times, because manifesting things. And I want you to think of the family whose daughter was killed tonight.
What?
Imagine.
Ooh, do I know?
Just imagine saying that to them. I want you to think of people whose family members have been diagnosed with cancer and tell them they didn't think positively enough, and that's why this has happened.
I don't believe in that, though. I don't believe that.
Yeah. And okay. So we can't control a huge portion of life.
My friend Robert's got a fire argument. I don't even hear it. I don't know.
Bad things can happen to good people. Good things happen to bad
life
people.
Life happens. Life happens.
People can work their whole lives with passion and integrity and still never make it to where they want to.
I agree.
And it's so I there are parts of manifestation that I think like are true. Like if you think positively and you direct your mind in that direction, clearly it's, you know, it's things are bound to happen for you. But like,
but it's the same thought of God, right? Like, you know, if you look at like, you know, a school shooting, for instance, right? You think to yourself, there's no way there's a God. Why would that happen? There's no lessons to be taught.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a fucking terrible thing, right? But it's like, I still believe it in God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel it. It's a feeling. You know what I mean? And it's like, and I see it working in my life. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, life happens. I mean, when Christians go, I'm not a Christian, but they're like, you know what I mean? Well, you know, there's a reason why that happened. We don't know. God's mystery. There's a mystery. I don't know those things. There's a million mysteries in life that I'll never figure out, right? But it's a feeling. Go ahead, Robert.
I want him to defend you. Bobby. Take on
government.
We're in court, Bobby. Come on.
Okay.
That was a weird sweat.
All right. Anyway.
And by the way, I'm not disagreeing with the idea of manifestation. I just think that, like, sometimes, like, you know, like, I grew up in a third world country, and there are certain things that I've seen. I'm like, people work hard here. They do all of the right things. They are good, pious people who, like, really have this, like, faith in their life that things are going to get better. And then
can I say something? I'm gonna let the main attorney talk for a second, but let me,
your main attorney,
the main attorney is gonna say, but let me just say something. Okay,
yeah,
right, is that, like, I know the kind of upbringing you've had, right?
Okay.
Violent, painful. What you, and that you guys came to America, right?
Yeah.
And you guys had no money, right?
I got,
and
fisted by my family doctor.
Okay, you don't have to say the fisted part, right?
Okay.
That's deep.
Yeah, yeah. It was deep. He did it really deep.
It went so far?
It went for, no, I'm kidding.
You kind of lobbed it up.
Yeah, sorry. Thanks for the lob. But my point is that, but so you've had, right? But can I say something? When I first met you, I went, before I even contacted you on Tinder, we met on Tinder.
Fire.
I went back. I went back into your like account, right? And you were always doing sketches, and you were always doing like trying to DJ. You know what I mean?
What?
Wait, you did sketch comedy?
Hey, y'all got popcorn?
Excuse me.
You got some popcorn?
Yeah, you would do some scene with Gardo. Where there was one scene where you're doing with a joke.
Wait, you did sketch comedy?
Yeah, I did not.
And you were a DJ?
Yeah.
I know.
A DJ?
And I saw another thing where you had bought, Gordon had bought, a DJ thing, right? And you guys
were
like,
yeah. Cut this out.
I'm not talking about it. It's a fact, right? So you've always wanted to do something creative. I think you were a dreamer.
Well,
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Be a dreamer.
But to your point, when I was this...
You manifested it.
When I was in the thick of my family dysfunction, when I was getting my ass beat regularly, when I was being diddled by uncles who weren't supposed to diddle me, I remember just completely dissociating. And there's this area in my city called Fuente Osmeña, and that's where all the billboards were. And I remember just looking at one. It was a guest billboard. And I remember thinking, like, I'm going to be something. I'm going to get the fuck out of here. I'm going to be something. So yes, I do believe that, you know, you can't obviously just manifest things into existence, but you can believe it hard enough that your body just naturally moves in a way to get you.
That's
there.
What we mean.
Right? But it doesn't happen for everybody.
There's a reason.
There we go, dog. Go get it. Get it.
So manifestation, what I believe is, with persistence, determination, realism, and wanting success more than your next breath, a person can literally attain anything. I believe this. I'm a person who's come from absolutely nothing. Poverty. My house was a third world country. That's like what it was like where I lived. You know what I mean? I ain't saying it's that deep, but I'm saying like hunger, no money, nothing, pain. devastation, nothing. I had nothing. We had nothing.
Get her.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to get her.
Dude, why are you getting her so hard right now, dude?
No. What I'm saying is there's another part of this. So for years, I would always go persistence, determination, realism. Because I never was like, oh, I want to be a rapper, y'all. Boats and bitches and hoes and that. Like,
hey.
I never thought that. I was like, you know what? This is a very big space. And Alan Watts said, anything you can be interested in, you will find others who are. And I, look how I look, man.
You're like, great.
No, I'm saying like...
You look cute. We know
cute as fuck.
I'm black, but I look white. I don't fit in. I like science fiction and anime and like all this nerdy shit and hip hop. And on my come up, everybody just clowned me. I would talk about my emotions and my feelings and they made fun of it. But I knew, I was like, there is a space for this and there are people out there. So the biggest factor there when thinking about myself as a brand and creating something larger than myself, the big piece there is realism. So to be realistic in your goals and what you want. So to be one of the biggest rappers ever, which I am, I'm one of the biggest rappers ever. I had a goal of how to attain that. But there's another thing here, and then I want to get on the quote-unquote negative aspect of it. There's another thing that I then realized only recently in my early 30s that a person needs to be prepared for it. They need to literally be willing to know and understand because it is a language. Success, manifestation, it is a language. And I could sit here and tell the viewers and the listeners, all you have to do is have persistence, determination, realism, and want success more than your next breath. And they could go, okay. And they could understand that. But to know what that means, as a successful person, to know that you have to put everything into that and be ready is another thing. So when it comes to negativity, I don't think that a little girl dying of cancer has anything to do with manifestation. But I do personally, and that's no slight, but I do personally believe that our negative thoughts also manifest. And there is a difference between an intrusive thought like, oh shit, I might go bankrupt, or oh fuck, I hope my little baby doesn't fall all the way down the stairs and hurt himself. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between like those thoughts that are fleeting and we go, that could happen, but let's not focus on it. There are people who focus on it. They focus on being broke. They focus on the negative aspects of their life, because I was one of those people. I've done it and I've lived in the negativity and just watched it consume me and nothing was happening. And I was blaming everything wrong in my life on somebody else or because of this and if only. And when I stopped doing that, when I stopped comparing myself to others, and when I stopped manifesting negative energy and I focused on the positive that was in my life, I saw a complete and utter change. I think there is a difference between manifesting the lives that we always dreamed of, i.e. yourself in entertainment, because you're snapping, girl. Get it.
Thank you. Yeah,
and then a little boy dying of leukemia. I do think that there's a difference there. And I think some things happen and we can't explain them. And very much so, like me coming up and making it out of my situation, I can't explain it and I don't need to explain it. It is what it is, whether it's beautiful or whether it's heart-wrenching and sucks, but we got to keep it pushing.
Yeah.
We rest our case.
I don't know about that. No, because I'm not hating.
Verdict!
He's not trying to loop with you.
We rest our case. Verdict!
So I just think there's a language. I think manifestation is real. Because check this shit out. Let's really think about this. You guys, so where'd you get that Kill Bill poster? Outside, the big one, the fucking
tall one. It's one of my favorite movies.
It's the first thing I saw when I walked in here. I might steal it. So basically.
You know what, dude? If you want it, I'll give it to you.
No way.
Yeah, I will. I don't know what to do with it.
Are you serious?
You can have it, yeah.
I swear to God.
Let me help you out. But can you feature him on a track?
Yeah, easy. We'll do that.
Let's do that.
But you love you. When I first walked into his apartment, that was like the biggest thing in his home.
Well, let me tell you this, because he's a giver. I'm a giver. Yeah. I love giving shit. So the fact that you just said that right now, you just made my motherfucking day. But let me explain why that means so much to you.
But I'm not going to wrap it and mail it. You have to take it.
I'm taking that motherfucker.
I'm not going to do any of that.
Figure that out.
You do the work. You do the work.
Of course. So I'm 13 years old, living in bullshit. I watch Kill Bill. I see this movie. It's insane. My mom, she was like a super Bible thumper. She's the type to be like, don't you ever take the Lord's name in vain. God damn it, motherfucker. Like, that was my mom. So there was no real reasoning with her, and we can get into that later. But I see this movie, and it's just like what you gave me, an escape. It was incredible. You know what I'm saying? It's just this badass skinny bitch running around good. Slicing motherfuckers up. I'm like, yo, this shit is crazy. And I watch it and I become obsessed with it. And then I love the music. And I'm like, oh my God, this music is insane. And I see that the score is done by RZA. I'm like, what the fuck is RZA? And then I do the time and take the my due diligence to understand that that actually stands for RZA. And the RZA is the founding member, the abbot of Wu-Tang Clan. So then through Kill Bill, I discover Wu-Tang Clan, and then I discover hip-hop. And then I start writing songs and, you know, doing all this shit at 15, 16 years old, growing, growing, growing. And then I get a record deal, and I do all these things because I saw that one movie. Now, we're talking about manifestation here, right? So then later on, bro, one of my best friends is the RZA of Wu-Tang Clan. I have every single living member on a track that I did a few years ago called Wu-Tang Forever. When I was a teenager in high school, I said, one day I'm going to get the entire Wu-Tang Clan on a song, and it's going to be called Wu-Tang Forever. Now, that's just one instance of this, okay? Yeah. You want to hear something really crazy? How about the fact that I was never really into reading books? And then one book that I just became obsessed with is called Ready Player One. You guys have heard of that? It's a movie. The Steven movie, Spielberg.
Yeah. Spielberg.
So I read the book. I'm obsessed with it. I buy 50 copies. I give them to all my friends. I give them to fans, all this other stuff. I don't know how. I befriend the fucking author, Ernest Cline. We become homies. I find myself in his home with his pregnant wife and his children and all this other shit. I have no fucking idea how I got there. He's in Austin. I'm there. I guess I was on tour, da da da. I'm in his DeLorean. He's got a flux capacitor. Shit's crazy.
DeLorean.
The fucking next book, Ready Player Two, comes out. I'm in the thank yous next to Spielberg.
Oh my God.
The other day, a couple weeks ago, here's what's really crazy. A couple weeks ago, right? I was supposed to do Jamie Kennedy's podcast, okay? I was supposed to do that. I go to Nobu. I canceled because I had some shit come up, but we rescheduled. So we scheduled for a few days later. I was thinking about Rosie O'Donnell randomly. And I was thinking about Rosie O'Donnell and how she, as like a gay woman, fucking bossed up, especially in the 90s, and like came. What? What's funny?
No, because I think this happens to me a lot. So now
okay,
you're.
Okay, watch. What? Yeah. So I'm like, was thinking about how she's just a fucking boss, how she represented herself. Same with Ellen. Y'all ever see when Ellen did Oprah? That shit was crazy. And everybody was like shitting on her and super homophobic, and it was wild. And that this is what this woman endured in the 90s as a strong, prominent actor. And she was herself anyway. And that shit inspired me as a kid. I'm watching Harriet the Spy and all this shit. And I'm like, oh my God. And I was randomly thinking about her a couple weeks ago. And I was thinking about how fucking cool Rosie O'Donnell is. And then I had a dream 2 days after that about Rosie O'Donnell. I don't know what we were doing. We were like playing chess or some random shit.
Well, making love, maybe. Then, making love, maybe. I don't know.
No, we weren't. And then.
I've had that dream.
And then I go to fucking Nobu with my wife. Guess who sits next to us? Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh.
2 days later. 2 days later. And she sits there and I'm like, oh my God, I really want to say something to her.
Did you?
No, I was a little nervous. So, and I just wanted to respect her privacy. So I paid for her meal and I left her a note.
Oh.
And on that note, it said something really sweet that I don't really need to repeat because it's between me and her. So I did that, and she was having lunch with a gentleman. The next day, Jamie Kennedy texts me and goes, "You out here buying Rosie O'Donnell lunch?" And I go, "How the fuck do you know that?" And he goes, "Because the guy she was having lunch with did my podcast the day you were supposed to do it since you couldn't make it. He filled in for you. Came and was like, you ever heard of this guy Logic? He's so nice. And he goes, no way, he's on my podcast tomorrow.
There are no coincidences.
I'm just saying.
It's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I love it.
But isn't that crazy? Bro, that's one example. I could go on and on and on and on and on.
The way I'd accept that, this type of stuff that you're explaining happens a lot to me. Mm. For instance, like I was looking for the number of Nadav in your mom's house. He's a producer for your mom's house. But then I misspelled his name and I ended up landing on my other friend, Naveed. Mm-hmm. And haven't really spoken in a year or whatever. Like, and then the next, literally within 5 minutes, our friend Gene Hong's like, oh, hey, do you have so-and-so's number? Which was Naveed's number.
Wow.
And I was just looking at it on my phone. Mm. So these type of things happen a lot. And I wonder if it's manifestation or you're just a little bit witchy. You know, like I've always, my whole family has always just described me as, oh, like Kalila, she's witchy. Mm. Like if she, tiny things like that happen, like it just, you can't explain.
It's like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So
maybe you just have this kind of like a little superpower.
I don't think I'm a warlock.
No,
he's
not a warlock for sure.
Yeah, but I do. I hear what you're saying. I think it's the universe, man. I think
it's the universe too.
I think part of it is here. I mean, think about this. Did you know that the stomach, if you just think about it, it can slice itself open. Did you know that? Did you know that you can just cut your whole stomach open with your mind and bleed?
Really?
Yeah. Do you know what it's called?
Is there like a little Wolverine living in your stomach or something?
Do you know what it's called?
What's it called?
It's called a fucking ulcer. No, but this is a real. Yeah. Then we go, yeah. No.
I have them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's stress. Your mind, if your mind can change your body, the mind can change the world around
you. Yeah. You can perforate your own bowels for sure.
You know what? Oh my God.
Perforate.
Honestly, I really needed to hear this, to be honest with you, just now. I really did, because I've been, you know, this last month has been tough for me. And, you know, I've been trying to spin this last month into a positive. Here's the one thing I know about myself. I'm a survivor. I'm strong. Mm. I'm stronger than I think I am.
Hell yeah.
And I have so many people that love me. Mm. Mm-hmm. And these are all the things I really do. Like, I mean, I love you, George.
Oh. Wow, he really has a hard time.
He's getting an ulcer. He's getting an ulcer.
Oh, shit.
His stomach's cutting.
Oh. Woo! That was hard. Oh, my God. I said it. I love you.
How often do you say those nice things about yourself?
Never.
See, I say them often. People think they mistake that for cockiness.
Yeah.
It's necessary. It genuinely is necessary. And I will say this, like, all of my medical ailments, like, I have a heart condition that I got a procedure on a couple years ago. I have a lot of, like ulcer, GI stuff. Mm. And it's not hereditary. No one in my family has this. So I know that it's just, like, life and, like repressed stuff sort of, like, making its way and, like, perforating my own, like, slicing my own stomach open. Mm. That I absolutely believe. And I think I've been doing that for most of my life.
Why?
It's just, you know, like, before I addressed my trauma, before I addressed all the sexual stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff lives in your body. And if you don't do anything about it, if you just try to white knuckle through it, like, that's what happens. You will perforate your
therapy
own.
Is everything. I learned that. Yeah.
Oh, it saved my life. Saved my fucking life. Like, but then it's like such an ongoing journey too, because you think, oh, I'm therapized, I've learned enough, I'm able to intellectualize trauma.
Never
fucking ends.
But that's life. That's the game of life, you know? A lot of people, they want to know the meaning of life. I think it's just to live it. I know that's my son's whatever, but I really, instead of trying to figure it all out, I say, man, just enjoy the ride while you can, you know? So I think it's really beautiful that you've come to this realization with yourself. To be nice to yourself and to love yourself and to say good job. I'll tell you, man, every once in a while, I'd say about at least once a week, I try to look in the mirror and tell myself I love myself and pat myself on the back and go, good job.
I think let's try that right now with you, Bobby.
Well, what I've been doing, because I've been trying to get me off. The one thing I did also just in the last couple of weeks that I've never done before is I was at your house and I was laying on the couch. I was in a bad state. And I laid on the couch and I went, you know, I love you, dude, to myself.
Mm. Oh, my God. I think I took a picture of that moment.
Yeah. And I said, I'm so sorry you're going through this.
You know, I took a picture.
And I started weeping.
What is it? What was it that you were going through?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
God,
I said I would never talk about it.
Understood.
You know what's so crazy is that he was on my couch and I remember looking at him and thinking, I have never seen this man like this before. Mm. And so I was like, click. So I just wanted to have like a mental picture of like, so he kind of knows like the state that he was in. And he was like kind of hugging the back of the couch. His face was like smushed against it. Like he was either trying to like escape reality
dog Gobi was like on her side looking at me like, you know, like, hey, you know what I mean? And I said that to myself, like, I'm so sorry. And then I looked at Gobi and I went, oh, this creature loves me unconditionally. You know what I mean? It was like this weird kind of connection I had with this little tiny, my little daughter. You know what I mean? And it just, her eyes were glistening and she was so happy to see me because, you know, we raised Gobi and then they moved, right? So I have the cats and she has the dogs. So
you guys were married, right?
No, we were dating.
Dating.
Yeah. So the dogs, you know what I mean? They don't know English. So they don't know what happened, you know what I mean?
Don't say.
I mean, I'm sure they can comprehend it, but we don't know their language, you know what I mean? So they don't know what's going on. So when they see me, they're so happy to see me.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So anyway, Yeah, I know. I've I'm really kind of proud of myself. Anyway, I don't want to talk about myself.
No, you should. You should talk about yourself. I mean,
you do, and like even when you when people are paying you compliments, giving you your flowers, you really have a hard time receiving
them. I do.
I do. I can still be that way, but it was really bad before. And then you just got to be like, hell yeah, I'm the shit. You know what I mean? Like, you really just got to be like, fuck yeah. As long as you're not treating people with such said arrogance, you know, well, not arrogance, but confidence. Like, there's just a way to go about it. You know what I mean? It's like, and I don't think there's really a wrong, like, if you look at Kanye, like, on his come up and everything, like, he was saying he was the greatest because he had nobody else there to tell him that. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, no, I am the shit. I am the this or whatever. And I feel like every great creative has to do that because we all feel like frauds. I think there's a part deep down that's like, why am I here? Or why did I do? Or or this is all fake. They're going to find out. I don't know what it is. And I've talked to a lot of other creatives and they just feel that way. They feel
the
like
imposter syndrome.
I'm a pioneer
of that.
There you go.
I was the first guy, Asian guy, to do it all. I did
fuck
it.
Yeah, baby.
I did
go.
It. No, I did. I did it when they didn't want us. Mm. I mean, you see Allie and all these people, Steven Yeun. I'm so happy for them.
Yeah, yeah.
They're killing it. But I did it when they were like, no, you don't. We're not going to hire you.
Wow.
And I did it.
That's how I feel about it.
You know what I mean? Like, I did all kinds of shit, right, that was the first. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's like, and, you know, these young kids like Awkwafina and all these people, they come up to me and they tell me. And I never used to believe it. You know, I'd be like, oh, my God, we look up for you. We thank you so much and this and that. And it's just like, but I do believe it now. So,
you should, man.
Feels weird to say.
But it's good.
Yeah, I'm Neil Armstrong. I am. I'm Neil Armstrong.
You are, bro.
Asian style.
Asian style. Yeah,
yeah, Gangnam style.
Yeah.
Gangnam style.
Is your podcast going to be guest driven?
Yeah.
All right, so you're going to do it in Portland?
No, I'm going to do it in LA. That's why I'm here.
All right.
I'm here just because.
Well, I mean, I would love to do it.
Oh, really? Yeah, we could.
No?
Well, maybe we'll pencil you in. That's a joke, of course,
it's
Bobby.
It's ridiculous that you would say something. Because, you know what I mean?
Are you serious? I would love to have
it. Are you mine? I'm going to fucking do it.
Oh,
I love you.
Wow. Add that to the list. Okay, cool. That's not even why I came here. Can I actually say something? It's funny that you just...
No more compliments.
I love... You're so pretty. You're so gorgeous. Yeah, yeah. I love organic shit. And I think about how my whole career has been like really organic. Like even my first hit, so I had hit albums. I was selling 5,000 cap rooms at 25 with no hit record, with nothing like that. And then when I did the 1-800 song about mental health and suicide prevention, I was like, wasn't even trying to make a hit, you know, because nobody's like in the club like, yeah, suicide, like nobody's thinking that. But I've felt, and this comes back to you then hopefully being a guest on my podcast, if you're serious, is that things happen naturally for me and I hate forcing them, because there's a million people I could just call and be like, hey, do you want to do my podcast? But I would rather call those people and just be like, how are you? Mm. I'd rather call those people and be like, not ask them for a feature or ask them for this or that. But I've noticed that this industry kind of actually works that way, where it's like you got to hound somebody and hound somebody and hound somebody, and I just hate doing that.
It's hard to do.
But
you
don't,
do have to do it.
See, but no, wait. No,
it's
but
hard
me,
to do, but
let me ask
we
you.
We do it.
I was talking to a good friend of mine about this today. He was like, look, bro. He was like, if you want to XYZ in music, or if you want to keep it going or keep da-da-da, he was like, you got to hit people up. You got to kind of take advantage and be selfish. And I think there's a part of him, of what he's saying, that is 1,000% true. But I would much rather just hang out with another really great artist, da, da, da. And then it just happens organically, like this. I just brought up my podcast, and you were like, "I want to do it," and now you're going to be the illest guest, and that means a lot to me. But I don't want to press out, you know, producers or other musicians that I love and make them feel uncomfortable to the point to just try to get them on a track to make a song.
It's interesting,
big.
Yeah. I you know, there's two guys I've asked 1,000 times over the last 8 years. I feel, and they're dear friends of mine.
I'm going to do this
call
podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to call them out.
Okay.
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah, baby. Let's
and
go.
Ike Barinholtz.
All right.
And I see them do all the other ones, and they're, dear, I love them like brothers.
So have you asked them to come?
1,000 times.
So have you been like, here's the date, come?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, well, I'm scheduling conflicts, this and that. This. But then I'll go on Instagram, I'll see them do other ones, and even popular as mine. For sure. I mean, mine would kill it for them, right? But it's like,
you ever just ask them instead of like holding this inside and just kind of
No, I do. They, what do they say? I'm going to do it eventually. I'm just busy. You know, I'm hanging out with Keanu Reeves. I don't know what it is.
That's why.
Yeah, but I don't know what it is. But it's like, you know what I mean? And it's like, now I'm like, I'm never going to ask again. I after 20 times, I can't ask anymore.
See, but that's how I feel, because I don't want to press somebody out.
It feels gross.
I can then feel it. Like, it's just like a thing. Like, I just don't want to press you. Like, I just don't want to press you out.
Yeah.
But other people don't give a fuck, because I know what it's like to be pressed out. And then I'd be like, yo, fuck this person. Honestly. Because then it's like, you're not even asking me how my day is. You don't give a shit to come, like, you know, share a cup of coffee or something. Just all you want is
this thing.
Purely
transactional then.
Yeah, but guess what? That's like 90% of Hollywood and everything. Like, it's like, what can you do for me? What can I do for you? Yes. Are you popping enough right now? Like, there's been times where it's like, I'm up here, and then, I mean, ebbs and flows in music, and then it's like, I step back, I retire, so then I'm down here, and then I come back, and I'm hot, and then people want to hit me again. It's just like, bro, fuck that.
I want to say something interesting that happened. So during this hard time I had, Andrew Santino would have 60 comedians call him and go, how's Bobby doing?
Instead of
calling me. It's weird.
I hate that.
Yeah. How's Bobby doing? And he's like, he's doing good. You know what I mean? You know, this and that. And then it's like, and then Andrew will tell me, like, so-and-so called me and asked how you're doing.
But that's, see, that.
I go, he has my fucking number. You know what I mean?
That's like gossipy rather than really trying to get to the source and check in. Because, you know, even if suppose, like, and these people are your friends, you said, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even if suppose they're like, fuck, I don't know if I should be calling or if it's, this is going to go well. But, like, if I'm genuinely worried about you, that's going to override any other feeling of, oof, I don't know if this is the right time. Like, because, like, you were going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's bullshit to kind of go through a third party and be like, because that's just trying to, like, get intel and information.
Are you emotionally open with your friends? Like, truly, like, true to form? Are you, like,
very
open?
What the fuck are you doing right now, man?
No, I'm just curious.
What the fuck? Don't lock eyes with me and ask me that question, dog. Because
that's a reason. If by chance you... Because, look, check it out. I like to think I'm a fucking comedian. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't
do what you do, man. But it's like, you know, I have a sense for comedic timing.
Yeah, you do.
And I know how to turn a lot of my pain into laughter.
Yeah.
And that's how I deal with it. And if that's all I ever did, it may be hard for people to approach me and actually sit me down and be like, yo, how are you? Because a lot of the time when you ask somebody how they are, what do they say? I'm good.
I'm fine.
Yeah. I'm fine. And so maybe your friends, maybe they.
No, you're right. I think you're right. I think there's a hat that I wear, a mask, where I'm like kind of goofy and weird, and I say weird things. And I think a few, there's probably like 5 or 6 people that know the real, like, essential me, where I call them and go, this is what's going on. You know what I mean? Kalala's one, Andrew's one, a couple of other people. But you're right, and I think that I'm going to change that about myself.
Like you said, you're the pioneer.
All right.
Maybe they see you. They see you, and they just go, "Damn, I don't want to bother him with this because every time we talk, it's laughs.
It's farts. Yeah,
you know. So yeah,
farts and queefs.
You got it.
Yeah, thanks, man. Listen.
So your childhood. No, I'm just kidding.
What do you have? I want to say this too. This was a great. I love.
It's over.
Yeah, we only do an hour.
Oh, too bad.
I know, but
part two.
Yeah, but I wanted to say though,
come back anytime.
Anytime.
Really? Don't say that.
No, I swear to God, you can come back anytime you want.
Okay, thank you.
I want to give you my number after this.
Okay.
All right, and we're gonna be friends. Okay.
All right. I hope
and
so.
Also, I want to. No, we are.
I know, but when I ask you how you're doing, you have to tell the truth.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, man. The fuck? But anyway, we love you, and anything you want to promote, handles or anything.
All I want to promote is peace, love, and positivity. I got a bunch of shit going on. If you want to know what it is, search me up. I'm just happy to be here with you guys. And I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to let me, you know, talk about dope, real shit and being so open and vulnerable and honest with me. And I don't know exactly what's in my future, but this is it somehow.
Yeah.
And it's just being yourself. So anybody out there watching or listening,
you're going to kill it, dude.
The best day. I mean, I don't know in what yet, but we'll figure it out.
But if you pod, you could do, you mean, musicians too. And you have a bigger, like, I think, pool of people that would do yours. You know what I mean?
I got a couple guests lined up, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm
probably
excited.
Big people.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. I'll tell you.
I'll go.
Yeah. But thanks for having me.
I really like your hat. You see, it says Bobby Boy.
Yeah, Bobby Boy. You want one?
Is that your hat?
Yeah, this is my hat.
Oh, I need that one.
Here, you can have this one.
Really?
Yeah. There you go.
Bobby Boy, this is so dope.
How cute is that?
Yeah.
This is your brand?
Yeah, it's my brand.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Thanks. It's just Logic merch. That's what I do.
Here's a Tiger Belly beanie. Okay. This.
Yeah, give me that.
hey, don't forget your poster as well.
I know. I can't fit that in the Maybach though. So we'll have to come back. For
ooh.
It. Flex? Did I just flex? Is that why people are like Logic's always flexing?
So, anyway, give Logic a round of applause. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you. Hold on. Put your headphones on. I got a couple of lonely.